This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Come for another podcast, have you? We're ready when you are. Joy.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It is indeed World Wide Wave time, Joy's international news and current affairs show, taking you around the globe one country at a time. A big thank you there to the A-team, Arvi, Alex and Angus, and Derek for the news. On our show tonight, I'm joined by Dean.
G'day.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
And I'm Matt. We've covered the struggles of LGBT people in Africa many times on this show. Few times, though, have we had to address orchestrated mob violence, as is being reported in Kenya tonight. How are police and political leaders responding to these claims?
What part does religious leaders play in inciting violence against the LGBT community?
And how does this violence impact the delivery of health services for men who have sex with men and sex workers?
To investigate Kenya's mob violence mentality, tonight we are speaking to Esther
Adiambo.
Yes, I get there in the end. from Prima in Kenya, which is the personal, marginalised and aggrieved organisation.
And they're a Mombasa-based community organisation that provides support to gender and sexual minorities on issues such as human rights, health, HIV/AIDS and economic well-being.
The Human Rights Watch and Prima have just released a report titled "The Issues is Violence and Attacks on LGBT People on the Kenyan Coast." And here's a taste of what we got coming up for you tonight.
After that attack, we decided that it's about time we officially organized and started sensitizing and educating and also reaching out to the gender and sexual minorities within Mombasa County to educate them on their human rights, because after that we saw that people are being evicted from their houses illegally, as sex workers are also being arrested.
We would love you to be a part of the show. So simply send us an SMS on 0427JOY949. Send us an email in the studio to onair@joy.org.au. Give us a call on the front desk on 1300JOY949 or live on Facebook for your questions or comments.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
Kicking off in the United States of America,
Yeehaw. Where
a report... No, that was last week's show, I think, wasn't it? Rodeos.
Can you two just calm down a bit?
A report has come out which shows same-sex parents spend more time engaging with their children than their heterosexual counterparts.
Is this a surprise to anyone?
Well, I guess it's put some numbers behind things. The difference is most pronounced in families with two mothers. That's probably the bit that doesn't surprise me too much. Families have two mothers, an average of 40% more time is spent with children in children-focused activities.
The amount of time amounts to 100 minutes per day in engaged children-focused activities, which compared to their male counterparts, which is normally only 50 minutes a day.
And one of the things I found in this is that, where there is a heterosexual family, a father and a mother, it's the father not being there as much, the traditional, I guess, breadwinning role, that is really impacting the time spent in a heterosexual couple.
This study did find that fathers in same-sex relationships roughly spend the same amount of time as mothers do, which is double the typical male. Time.
And it's a pretty significant survey too. 40,000 people in the survey. It was taken from the US Census Bureau. So that is pretty definitive, I would say. I wonder if there's listeners out there who have rainbow families and, you know, when they go to a playgroup or school and they're chatting, do they find that they spend more time? Is this an American thing or is it a global thing that same-sex parents spend more time with their kids?
Perhaps our listeners should SMS us or email us on air to let us know.
That's onair@joy.org.au. Actually, we just had a like for this story on Facebook as well. Kate's just liked that on Facebook, W3Joy on Facebook.
Now, closer to home in Vietnam, there has started a national campaign has been launched in Vietnam to promote LGBTI equality in the workplace. Work with Pride is the campaign launched by Viet Pride, and they've already got some quite global and successful businesses behind this, including Google.
They're the biggies, aren't they?
Google, PwC, KPMG. And also some smaller local businesses are also supporting it.
Interestingly, our show a few, probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, we went to a specialist recruitment company for the LGBT community called My G Work in the UK. It's almost the same companies, all those big hitters. And one of the comments I remember they made there was these big hitters set up their global policy. So it doesn't matter what country they do business in, this is the standard we expect.
Homophobia is bad for business.
Well,
true.
Get that on a placard.
Nearly 50% of people in a recent study came out as saying, well, they didn't actually come out. They said that they actually hid their sexuality at work.
And there's no anti-discrimination laws in effect in Vietnam to protect LGBT people. They have some protections or broader rights, but nothing in the area of discrimination.
The event was actually started by the partner of the American ambassador. I should say his husband, Clayton Bond.
Wow. This is and something we've seen too under President Obama's reign, where US foreign policy, US embassies have got involved in local issues, particularly LGBT issues.
Now, off to Italy, and Italy is notorious for being the only major country in Western Europe that has not yet offered homosexual couples any legal rights, because successive governments, and as you know, they change governments every year or 18 months or so,
have
more frequently than we
every
change prime ministers.
Usually.
With the exception of Silvio Berlusconi, who managed to hang on for about 6 or 7 years, basically they've run into very determined opposition from parties that are close to the Roman Catholic Church. Anyway, Prime Minister Matteo Renzi has promised that a bill allowing civil unions would become law this year. Looks highly unlikely, but a bill to give legal recognition and protection to same-sex couples was presented to Parliament last Wednesday. It is a significant milestone.
He says it's not exactly equal to other marriages, which I would have preferred, but it's still a bill that recognises all social rights.
And this one would be extended to include unmarried heterosexual couples as well.
Which is a good thing. So a major sticking point in the law with their coalition partner is with the adoption of children. So let's see if that one gets up. The word is that if it gets to the floor, they should have the numbers.
Now, in brief, Japan's new education minister has pledged support for LGBTI students.
In Northern Ireland, they're voting again on whether they're going to have a civil equal rights in marriage.
Same-sex
marriage. The German government has granted same-sex couples more rights, but still refuses to legalise gay marriage.
An MP in Zimbabwe has sued a man for $72 million for calling him gay, but they're Zimbabwean dollars, so that's only worth about Australian $200,000.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, World Wide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
And that was Fenakitu, which is a singer-songwriter from Nairobi in Kenya. And that was African King, which is of her Feminon album.
And the reason we've got Kenyan artists is because that's where we've dropped off tonight to look into LGBT rights in Kenya.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your Fun Fast Facts.
Like in many places within Africa, homosexuality is largely considered taboo and to the verge of being repugnant. Sex acts between men are illegal under Kenyan laws and carry a maximum penalty of 14 years if it's consensual and up to 21 if it's not.
Sex acts between women are not specifically mentioned in the penal code, but the gender-neutral term person is intended to cover both men and women.
And this comes out of the colonial powers from many years ago and the unnatural offences and carnal knowledge and all those sorts of things. It's riddled through their key laws.
Well, that's the law for one thing, though, Matt. But what do the general public think?
It gets worse.
It gets very true. Public opinion. So a survey done in 2007, the Pew Global Attitudes Project, which is quite a big international survey, 96% of Kenyans believe that homosexuality is a way of life that society should not accept.
That's the fifth highest rate of non-acceptance out of 45 countries. I'd hate to be in the other four countries.
I know, it's hard
countries.
To believe that it gets worse than 96%. Another research paper by the Kenyan Human Rights Commission in 2011, which looked at the legal and social status of LGBTI people in Kenya, 89% of people who were LGBTI and came out were rejected, were disowned by their own family. Employees reported to have been terminated or subject to hostility, ridicule, and humiliation in their workplace.
As you would expect, traditional religion and cultural values play a substantial role in daily life. And the leaders of these religious entities and the politicians have basically condemned homosexuality and transgender as a sign of decadence, disease, or immorality.
In fact, in 2010, the Kenyan Prime Minister, Raila Odinga, said, "If I found the homosexuals, if found, the homosexuals should be arrested and taken to relevant authorities. There is no need for homosexual relationships because the most recent census showed there were more women than men."
And he said that it was...
Who could argue with that logic?
...madness for a man to fall in love with another man while there were plenty of women.
It's just a matter of finding the right woman, obviously, in Kenya.
Yeah. Now, same-sex marriage is obviously not on the cards and a long way off. And to give you a flavour of what happens and how much hysteria, there was a false rumour in February 2010 spread in the town of Mutwapa that two Kenyan men were going to get married in a local hotel. It unleashed turmoil in the town. There were house-to-house witch hunts by anti-gay vigilantes, street attacks targeting gay men, and ransacking of HIV medical centres. Radio, the local radio stations got behind it. Politicians and muftis and imams started speaking out against it. This is all a fictitious wedding that did not go ahead, by the way.
This massive hue and cry over nothing.
So, yes, they were telling their congregations, the religious leaders, which we'll hear more about tonight, were telling their congregations to flush out homosexuals.
It wasn't even just local radio, but national radio, including KISS and Classic FM, which have links to other stations, were carrying the news.
Makes it much harder when the people in positions of authority, who you expect to be, have a level head, just start hyping everyone up as well.
No, this is Africa. Interestingly, though, same-sex marriage, there are some traditional female same-sex marriages practiced within parts of Kenya. About 5 to 10% of women in these areas undertake such marriages.
Although they're not homosexual, it's basically just to make sure their family can inherit.
Share your views with the world. SMS us now on 0427-JOY-949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
We are in Kenya tonight, where Human Rights Watch has just released a report titled "The Issue is Violence, Attacks on LGBT People on Kenya's Coast." Esther Adiambo is from Pima, Kenya, Persons Marginalised and Aggrieved. They are a Mombasa-based organisation that supports gender and sexual minorities who help to research this report. We asked Esther to tell us about the reports of mob violence in the coastal province of Mombasa.
The mob violence, if I take it back to 2010, February, there was an attack at a clinic that was frequented by many sex men. And it's a Kenya Medical Research Institute clinic where there was a research on HIV vaccine being carried out. Religious leaders led a vigilante group to attack this clinic, citing that the white people had come to teach their boys bad manners and how to be gay. So, rumor that there's going to be a gay wedding in the same clinic. So on a Friday, after the Friday prayers, the religious leaders led the mob, which are mostly people who ride their motorbikes. There's a mode of transport called the Bodaboda mode of transport, which takes you inside an area where the vehicles can't get into. So they attack this clinic, and that is the genesis of violations towards gender and sexual minorities at the cost. At this time, Pema Kenya was really not organized. Officially, you're just speaking and then cutting up, and it's just a group of gender and sexual minorities finding out about each other. But this attack in 2010, it was only published by CNN, BBC, and the local media. After that attack, we decided that it's about time we officially organized and started sensitizing and educating and also reaching out to the gender and sexual minorities within Mombasa County to educate them on their human rights. Because after that, we saw that people are being evicted from their houses illegally. There was a arbitrary arrest of people, and MSM, actually, our sex workers are also being arrested. So for Pema Kenya, it's about time officially organize and register an organization that would advance the human rights of gender and sexual minorities. So collaborated with the Human Rights Watch to do this research and find out how many people are being violated and by who.
Esther, are the police doing anything about these violent mobs?
Yes, the police are doing something, but they're not doing enough. If someone has been violated and they report at the police instead laugh at them, saying that you're doing the wrong thing. I remember when this report came out, I think Deutsche Welle News did an interview, and one of the head of police said that their duty is to protect everyone, but how can you be protected if you're doing something wrong? So you see, still there's still that stigma and still that misunderstanding that being a gender or sexual minority is something wrong, is a society misbehavior. So there's been a lot of violence, not specifically from the police, but from individuals, from the society.
Thanks for tuning in to yet another Joy podcast sponsored by Audible. You can support Joy by signing up to a free 30-day Audible trial. Get your very own free audiobook now. audible.com.au/joy.
It is Joy's International News and Current Affairs show, and tonight we've stopped off in Kenya. We've been speaking with one of the organisations inside Kenya, but courtesy of Human Rights Watch, we've actually got some of the voices of the people impacted by these violent mobs in Mombasa.
The crowd were saying that give the homosexuals out to us so that we can beat them up, we can stone them to death, or we can beat them up, we can teach them how to become straight people.
On my way back home, there was a crowd of young guys, and they started calling me names. And one guy, he had this bottle, and he chopped me from my neck towards my chest. I just collapsed. I just found myself the next day in the hospital. I wanted to go to report to the police station, but I was scared because even if I was attacked and the violent way, if I go and tell them about it because I'm gay, they will still arrest me.
When violations occur and they go to the police station, the police refuse to take down their report and to prosecute or to do investigation.
Currently, I'm handling a case of two adult men who've been charged under the laws of Kenya with engaging in carnal knowledge against the order of nature. They were compelled to undergo an annual examination by the other party, the prosecution, as part of the process of building evidence, which is a great affront to human rights.
We are accused with practicing gayism. They wanted to take us for checkup so that they can find more evidence. It was painful, yeah.
We know what the situation is with HIV. So you want to go out to access a health service, but you're thinking, oops, wait, if I go out there, will I be arrested? Am I a criminal? So we find that a number of them will not be able to come out to access the health services.
Staying with Kenya, the report by the Human Rights Watch and Prima Kenya details incidents of anal examinations used to convict gay people under the so-called unnatural offences law. We asked Esther if she had any first-hand knowledge of this practice.
Yesterday, February, two men were arrested on suspicion of being gay and charged with practicing unnatural offences and transporting pornographic content. So you find that there's targeted homophobia from the public and also from the police. In the case of February 2015, the police went into the houses of these two gentlemen, searched it without warrant, and forced them to take them to court. And the magistrate ordered that they go through anal testing, which was used to actually criminate them. I think for me that is unconstitutional and that is a violation of human rights, and nobody should be compelled to go through an HIV test without their consent. So you find all these violations happen to individuals, and those are the things that really need to be addressed, because all Kenyans are equal, and regardless of your height, your ethnicity or your religious beliefs, we're all protected by the Constitution of Kenya.
Now, Esther, you mentioned religious leaders. Do you have any evidence that they are inciting this mob violence?
Yeah, the religious leaders have always been on the front front. When something happens, if you go to YouTube, you'll find them making statements that, you know, it is ungodly. We should not allow this to happen within the society. These people should be dealt with. I know one religious leader specifically saying that even the Quran does not allow this kind of behavior, and the Quran states that or dictates that they should be killed. And that is in a public forum, like in the media. So it's on YouTube, it's recorded there, it's on the internet. The religious leaders are saying this, so, which means it's wrong. And everybody has a right to practice their own religion. Why are we compared to their specific religious beliefs? Was it last year, 2014, when one Seventh-day Adventist, together with some politicians, wanted to tell an act of parliament that in a law that was going to stone gays and lesbians, because that is what happened in the Bible, right? So they said that we should stone these people, or someone found to be doing this thing should be stoned to death. I mean, religious leaders are kind of creating an environment where homophobia is encouraged.
What about the media? How big a part are they playing in encouraging violence against gays and lesbians and the wider community?
In 2010, when the violence happened and there was misreporting of a gay wedding, there was nobody there to inform them or tell them what was happening. And the media needs to tell stories. If you don't tell us what you want to know, we're going to do it. We're going to tell the story of the people around you. So the media, yes, they can write their own things. They write what they think they know, what they recite on the internet. But I speak for Pema, where we have reached out to the media and started educating the media, giving them a forum where they can actually reach out to us and ask the questions or clarification when something happens. The media in Mombasa is not as bad as the one in Nairobi. The media in Mombasa is kind of... they've kind of understood. In last year, December, we had just done a training to the media, and they were able to carry a very positive piece about PEM educating them on violence toward them and saying the vulnerability of HIV AIDS. But yes, initially, we were really reporting in the wrong way.
Esther, being gay in the coastal area of Mombasa is a bit different to being gay in the capital, Nairobi.
Mombasa has its bylaws and everything happens in Mombasa. And then you have Nairobi, the capital city, everything is happening there. And a little bit of background of Mombasa is kind of a religious town, Islam being the major religion being practiced, while Nairobi is a metropolitan town that everybody doesn't care about any other person's business. While in Mombasa, it's kind of very tricky to do human rights work, or specifically within the social minority, vis-a-vis Nairobi. You find that in Nairobi, they can have pride, Idaho Pride, whatever, Idaho Day, they march in the street. While in Mombasa, if you ever did that,
everybody will be ferried out of that place within 24 hours.
One of the outcomes of this is that some of the health services for men who have sex with men and sex workers have had to close down. What impact does that have on those vulnerable groups?
Yeah, remember when I told you the story of February 2010, that clinic had to close down. That clinic was the only friendly clinic that was offering services to men on sex with men. You know the stigma that surrounds healthcare facilities where gay men and their different kind of diseases like anal warts, you know, and thrush. Then someone would ask you, how, as a man like you, why are you getting anal warts, yeah? So this is the only clinic that would actually treat them knowing that they're men who have sex with men. Whereas they went to public clinics, there's a lot of stigma where the healthcare providers call each other and say, this is the way these people look like. Look at this person has anal warts. Who does that, you know? So, of course, then that indicates, as someone like you in the society, you're having anal sex. So this clinic clearly had to close. Another incident happened, I think, in 2013, where men who are having sex with men, they're undergoing a training. So this training is happening in the South Coast, a place called Likoni. The community hears about it, storms the place. The training is closed. Everybody runs away. Tell me, would you come back tomorrow again? No, of course I will not come back because I don't want to be arrested. So these are some of the challenges that happen in homophobia.
That's Esther from Pima in Kenya, talking there about the community pressure directed towards health clinics who service men who have sex with men and sex workers in Mombasa. And I think that's one of the really big challenges in this. Take away the homophobic elements of all this. If you just look at this as a health issue, that's one of the really, really big challenges. HIV, record levels in Africa, and then you have incidents like this where people are frightened to go and get a health check.
It's a shame because in other countries, HIV has actually been used as a way to get in and
exactly.
Set up.
Yes, the reverse. So the reverse. Actually to try and break down some of those barriers. Interesting there too. So it's a kind of a double-edged sword because the mob attacks have meant that people have stayed away from, or the actual clinics that specialise in men who have sex with men and sex workers have closed down.
And people that would attend them are scared of getting labelled as homosexual and being attacked.
That's right. And then they can't go to just another, you know, they can't just change medical centre because if they go in and they report something like anal warts, as was mentioned there by Esther, all of a sudden the stigma comes out and, well, how did you get that? And those sorts of things.
So privacy isn't exactly a consideration in these establishments.
No, it sounds more like they share the information amongst health centres. Message in from one of our regulars, 317. What a great interview. Fascinating to hear, fascinating how the Kenyan community in Melbourne, namely in Dandenong, feel they can be themselves and find their own identity. That's interesting. I didn't know we had a Kenyan community here in the Dandenong area. I wonder if we've got any Kenyan gay people listening who'd love to message in and tell us their experience. 0427JOY949 is the number, or on air at joy.org.au. Some of the other issues there, the media, so the power of the media to pull these crowds and the mob violence and the way they're tackling it with media training, which is interesting. So trying to educate the media both in the language that they use and I guess just trying to humanise these stories so that they aren't homophobic.
And as Esther said that in the interview, it's actually been going quite positively. I believe that it was more in Nairobi than Mombasa, which there does seem to be a dichotomy between the two cities.
City-country type thing, yeah. Yeah. The role of the international community in this is interesting because we had President Barack Obama who went to Africa and Kenya in particular earlier this year, and even before he got there, the activists, the homophobic activists in Kenya were really champing at the bit saying, don't talk about gay issues.
There was that very famous, unfortunately cancelled, nude protest that someone was going to set up.
That's
5,000 people were going to strip off, to show the differences between men and women, as though we weren't already well aware. But yeah, unfortunately, it got cancelled.
Indeed. And sad. President Obama did speak out. He said, "I believe in the principle of treating people equally under the law and that they are deserving of equal protection under the law, and the state should not discriminate against people based on their sexual orientation."
He went on to say that as an African American in the United States, he is personally painfully aware of what happens to people that are treated differently under the law.
Kenyan President Kenyatta was not moved by his comments. He said, "There are some things we must admit we do not share. Our culture, our society don't accept. It's very different for us to be able to impose that which they do not accept." And that's why they basically said that gay rights was not a priority issue, it was a non-issue for them.
I'm sure they're happy to accept the support and grants that the USA would be providing to them.
Indeed, indeed. Of course, that response garnered a lot of support within Kenya, with many politicians speaking out in support of their president and churches backing him as well. It does lead the question, is it beneficial for the international community to speak out on these issues, or should we in fact stay silent and hope that things go away?
We should never stay silent.
You're on Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Thanks for tuning in to yet another Joy podcast sponsored by Audible. You can support Joy by signing up to a free 30-day Audible trial. Get your very own free audiobook now. audible.com.au/joy.
This is Joy 94.9 and Worldwide Wave. Aloni is a trio based, which you were listening to, and they're based in Nairobi, Kenya. And Jani Uska is Swahili for last night, but who knows what they got up to last night.
We are definitely loving this groovy Kenyan music. We've got a full night of exciting things happening on Joy. Now, next up, our new neighbour, Queries, who's our old neighbour, who used to sit in the studio with us but ditched us for another show, Lana. Welcome, Lana.
Welcome. I didn't ditch you for another show. The other show started on a Saturday, if you remember.
And then you just missed us too much. You had to get closer to us.
I did. I love you all.
Now tell us, it's Queries is your show. Tell us a little bit about what you talk about.
Okay, so Queries is looking at non-normative ways of being and doing and thinking and acting. So the question is something queer?
Mm.
And tonight is Adelaide
queer? We're queer.
We're queer. Are we?
Just letting you know. We're right out there.
Really?
Oh, are you going to challenge me on this? Hang on, this is not your show. This is our show.
I could call you homonormative. Ooh.
Oh, no, this is too
hard. She's just made up another word again.
I didn't. You can Google it.
The dictionary, according to Lana. So you're on from 8 o'clock tonight, right?
Yes,
after us.
I am, and then I have my other show from 8:30, which is As I Was Saying.
As I was saying. And that one is?
That one is interviewing. So I'm doing the old interview with Joan Nestle.
Beautiful. Oh, I remember Joan.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. Well, stick around all night here on Joy. A couple of messages coming in as well. Kate and Doug have liked our photo. We posted a photo of our studio antics on Facebook, W3Joy on Facebook. They're already there. And a message on Facebook from Natalie. She's from Sydney. I was in Melbourne last week and listening to your station, really enjoyed it. Love hearing you on air. Thanks, Natalie. We love you being with us as well.
Joy 94.9.
And we're going to now return to Kenya. Esther has been telling us about the forced closure of health clinics that specifically service vulnerable communities like men who have sex with men and sex workers. We asked if there was anything being done to try and prevent these incidents.
We try to reach out to the healthcare providers right now to educate them and sensitize them on the needs of the social minorities, specifically the men of sex with men. There's education on how to provide healthcare services to men who have sex with men and sex workers.
What is Pima and the Human Rights Watch asking the Kenyan authorities to do?
If someone goes to report this incident, We want the police to take action and arrest someone if they violate their rights or attack somebody because they're different. We want the police to stop arbitrary arrests, and we want the police to stop violations towards gender and sexual minorities. And also, we want the government to scrap up laws that discriminate against a particular community of the Penal Code, Section 162, 163, and 165, criminalizes same-sex conduct. So you find that these laws have been used negatively to target this particular community.
Esther, you and the APIMA team are doing great work speaking up for minorities there. Thank you very much for joining us on Worldwide Wave.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to actually just give this information out to the world.
And that's Esther Adiambo from APIMA in Kenya speaking with us from Mombasa. Look, just, where do you start sometimes? I do, again, the thing that always encourages me is the willingness for people to stand up. Even when these horrible things are going on, there's always somebody who says, I don't care, I'm going to stand up, I'm going to make a change.
And she must be putting herself in danger and the people around her, because being associated with homosexuals, given the violence that happens over there.
Definitely. Definitely. A couple of messages in on 0427JOY949. Mr. Obama's visit to Kenya was one of the best speeches I have seen. A true leader with vision. He's a very good orator, isn't he?
He knows what he's doing.
He does. And the Kenyan pop stars dancing with Mr. Obama was the coolest I've ever seen in politics. Awesome country. I missed that one. Did anybody see that one?
No, I didn't see that
one. I'm going to Google that one and find and look at that one.
And don't forget, politicians don't actually write their own speeches. He's obviously got very good speech writers.
And he's also very good at delivery. Yeah. International money. We did touch on this before, and something we have discussed before on the show. Should international aid be tied to human rights? Should restrictions be placed on the giving of, you know, very significant amounts of money tied to, you know, countries making a change?
And we have mentioned previously about countries that have gone to other countries for funding that are less stringent about how they spend their money and what their human rights are like.
So China or Russia. The likes of that, yeah.
Look, no pink strings attached to those.
It's one of those very difficult issues to pick, because the restriction might mean the money is not taken, therefore the people who actually need the dollars and change to happen, it's then denied. On the other hand, I guess a lot of what the international community is doing in Africa is just falling on deaf ears. There's not too much progress being made in Africa.
Although the US is trying to make a stand, I believe they introduced the LGBT advocate to promote LGBT rights based linked to their funding.
That's right. And they are looking at issues right across the world, as we do here on Worldwide Wave.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like Worldwide Wave on Facebook now.
More messages coming in. Our friend 317 has sent us the link for the YouTube clip. We're going to post that on our Facebook page, which is W3Joy. If you like us, we post news from all around the world right throughout the week. And another one, Dale, the photo of our antics in the studio. Dale says, Matt, why are you always the one clowning around in the background of photos?
Because he always is the person clowning around.
Such a shy little wallflower.
Indeed. Look, it has been fascinating, although somewhat difficult tonight. A big thank you to our interviews, Esther Adiambo from Pima, Kenya. And also thanks to Human Rights Watch. They've put out this report. It's called The Issue is Violence, Attacks on LGBT People on Kenya's Coast. You can download that from hrw.org.
We'd also like to thank all the people that have interacted with us on Facebook. So Cody, Natalie, David, Shannon, Gasper, and a hell of a lot more. They've all been to our Facebook, which is W3Joy.
And those messages that have come in, Natalie, Dale, Katie, Doug, and 317. Thanks, guys. We love hearing from you throughout the show.
Stay tuned for Queries with Lana as they challenge heteronormativity. There's that word again.
I'm going to look it up now. Next week, fantastic interview. It's International Mr. Leather, and we spoke to him from US. He's doing some great outreach work to troubled countries around the world. Tune in for that one.
Thanks for tuning in to yet another Joy podcast sponsored by Audible. You can support Joy by signing up to a free 30-day Audible trial. Get your very own free audiobook now. audible.com.au/joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.